Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt, alongside me, Jack Piatelli. We're already like knee deep into this interview with Albany Firewolves offensive coordinator, Daryl Gibson. Daryl, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Coach, I'd really like to dive into just talking about offense and how much different it is than the field position. Your son played both, and how Canadians tend to be able to play field coming from box versus field going to box.
I think it's a loaded question with kind of a lot of layers to it, I would say. Because at the end of the day, both skill sets, the elite of either indoor or outdoor, I think are going to kind of be the elite at either or, an elite lacrosse player, elite lacrosse player. But there is a lot of subtle differences between, I mean, the most generic answer I always give people is it's literally like checkers to chess. Whereas box is just, you're just reacting, banging, and field is more of a, you set them up, kind of slow play, a lot of slow play, create those one-on-ones and just attack and draw slides. Whereas as box, you're allowed to set more physical picks, obviously. And it's just a bit of a more of a physical and a little tighter window type of game, where without those 6-foot poles, there's windows that we can hit on the indoor game that just aren't there in the outdoor game.
What is the most difficult adjustment for the American players to make in order to play in the NLL?
Oh, that's another good question. I would say the biggest thing is just the spacing and the timing. I kind of talked to you with your boy, John. A lot of the American kids or a field guy growing up will set that pick and just kind of slash to an open spot. Whereas in box, it's more about setting that hard cut, that hard pick, and just completing your cut all the way through. It's because the spacing is not as much, and it's just a little tighter window. There's an adjustment to that spacing, and obviously just the physical nature of the game. I tell a story about Zach Tucci played his first box game ever with us. And one point in the game, I turned around and his face was covered in blood. And I asked him what happened and said, "You didn't know, coach, some guy decided to cross check him out of nowhere in the face," and kind of gave him a welcome to the NLL moment. It's hard for them to find a fight for their space, whereas they've grown up, you can kind of go wherever you want to feel. There's a box, anything inside that dotted line is pretty much open territory to fight for your space.
I think one of the toughest for me when I played was just the intense level of the game when you're on the field. Like, you're on the field, you're playing all the time. And every single player on the field is going all out 110%, where in the field game, you might get a break on offense, you might get a break on defense. If you're a middie, you go on offense, you come off, you play D, you come off. But when you're on that floor in the indoor game, you're all in or you're not playing.
Yes, you got to be able to adapt on both ends of the floor at a certain point. I mean, we do still have our specialized. We've got our OD, like we will run 6 or 7 O guys, 10 or 11 D guys. And ideally, it's the same concept. I was a D guy in the league, and the chances of an O guy scoring a goal is much higher than the chance of me scoring on shooting the ball. So we want to get the ball into the right sticks. But you've got to be able to adapt and play both ways.
Jack kind of covered a lot of the American like guys coming in, the influence of that. And now I think it's almost flipped where the box influence is so high in field. And yeah, I mean, we just talked to Rob Pinnell, and he was saying, well, there's not a lot of X guys anymore. Well, they're all playing on the wing. Well, guess where they got that? I mean, it's a lot of box integration, a lot of two-man. And as you were saying, a lot of navigating picks, slipping, opening, getting underneath, and then fighting through that on the defensive end. How have you seen the reverse of that question happen, right? Like how have you seen box influence field, if at all?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You mean field influence box from the other side of it?
No, I mean, I think box influencing field in terms of like where Dodgers are now coming from, like the volume of them coming from the wing is much higher, I think, now than it probably has ever been.
Yeah, and you even see more. I mean, I watch quite a bit of college games now, and you see a lot of off-ball sealed now, guys cutting off those off-ball seals. Things you never saw in the past. It was always just cut and replace. I remember when I played college lacrosse and the offensive kind of jumped up, and box is kind of starting to take it to another level, where I in particular take a lot of notes from the NBA coaches and things they do to kind of create space for their players. And it is just my fundamental, my offense, it's all about team. And yeah, you need that main guy with the ball, but you need other guys moving and creating options for him at the same time, instead of just standing there hoping your guy slides.
So if you're watching field, right, and you're kind of maybe you're looking for a prospect that is under the radar, right? He could develop into a really good box player. What attributes does he have to have? What sort of things does he have to do for you to give him consideration, right? Because I think a lot of people will just say, oh, it's hands. It's not just hands. It's knowing where to be. It's knowing how to swing from a pick, how, when to set it, when not to set it, and when to go through, right? So what's one thing out of any of those or something else that you would pick out that would make someone stand out to you?
I think the biggest one is skill set, and to be honest, size. Size helps. Look, a lot of these young guys coming in, the Charlie Bertrands, Connor Field, these are big, strong, physical kids, and it's they can get anywhere they want in time and space, which is a little more useful in the box game because you've got no long poles to strip them. And they can get to their spots wherever they want. So the size is the reality of our sport. So these big bodies, that Asher Nolting kid I'm thinking of coming out of Colorado now, he's a big load. Zed Williams, I don't know if anyone's seen him without a shirt off, but he's about 250 of pure muscle. And those guys are causing problems in our league. It's the Dane Smith kind of effect. Those have kind of always been the elite guys on the offensive end, where they've got elite skill set, but they've also got a physicality that kind of brings them a thing. I look at the kids at Penn, a big giant kid. I can't remember his name off the top of my
Sam
head
Handley.
Right now, but
Sam Handley.
Yeah. He's going to be a problem in this league. 1,000%. So you're looking at that. You're looking at jam. And when I say the jam, it's, but you want that blue collar kid is going to adapt much better, enjoys physical contact a little more. It can get into it. I think of a few of the Virginia kids, and I just say Virginia because I watched Virginia knock out my son's Robert Morris team a couple of years ago. And that Virginia team plays with a real jam, and most of those kids could compete at either level of the game, indoor or outdoor, for the most part. So I think that would be a look for. It's a lot of the same stuff when you're recruiting, though. Then you're reaching out to coaches, you're reaching out to people in the community that know the kid. What do they like? Are they committed? It's the same thing. You want the kid that just loves the game is the most, I think, the most important trait. And then you can go for that. Because then they're committed. They're doing the right stuff. They're in the gym. They're acting like a pro. They're true pros. And we can teach the nuanced stuff. Jack knows I'm working with his boy quite closely. And the elevation John Piattelli has made in the indoor game, it's been quite incredible to see him, where he's really starting to figure it out. He's a 2-3 goal a game guy in our league now.
Coach, you've been in the league a long time. You played and you've coached. Your son obviously was a very good box player, college, collegiate player. I mean, you've been around the game a long, long time. Where do you stand with the NLL in terms of the way it's played now versus the way it was played before? Do you like where it's at in terms of the play, the rules?
I love it. It's just getting better and better. And it's the preparation. When I was playing in the league on those Championship Toronto teams, we were one of a handful of teams that actually looked at video and video hair. And now everybody in the league does it. Like, I can come up with the most genius play and it will work for about a week or two. And then you have to throw it in the garbage because everybody's watching video and can't run those sets anymore. It's you've always got to be on your toes. You've always got to be developing, or it's like any pro sports league now, you're going to get left in the dust. So I love the way we're going. It's more and more guys acting like pros. The league's growing more and more. The owners we have deep pockets and are serious investors into the game now. And I love the pace of our game. It's never been faster. I've been honest with guys. They changed that half court violation clock from 10 to 8. It pretty much made me retire at 35. It's those 2 seconds make a huge difference in the pace of the game.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's really changed with NLL is now all you need is ESPN Plus, and you can watch basically every game. Like, that's incredible for players in the United States, especially, and young guys trying to find something to watch. I've I coach a high school team in JV and assistant at varsity. And I always tell them, they always ask me, like, coach, how do we run this pick? Like, what do I do with a pick? I was like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to open up ESPN Plus. You're going to ask your parents for $10. And you're going to watch one NLL game and just watch one guy. Pick any guy. It doesn't even matter, because that's where you learn the most about it, right? Like, just watching it, like spotlighting a player, I think is the easiest way to learn on film when you're kind of new to something. And I've literally had guys come back and just be like, coach, I didn't realize I just had to go off the side that he hit me on for the pick. I'm like,
Yeah. You're 100% right. And I actually lived it with John Piatelli this year. Is early in the year, he was really struggling with spacing, kind of when to set the picks, when to finish the cuts. He kind of get caught in the middle, kind of up and down. And we just pulled the side. We said, go watch, put to Shane Jackson for the next 2 weeks of your life. That's all I want you to do. Go watch Georgia, watch what Shane Jackson does. And he's like, oh, he sees all the subtle little things that Shane does to create space. And Shane's not a big guy. He goes wherever he wants on the floor, but he's just always a step ahead of the other guy.
Yeah, I remember watching him play with those Atlanta Blaze teams in the MLL, and he would have like 50 points and you wouldn't even like understand how he got it. He's one of those, he's like a ghost. He just like catches and scores. You're just like,
he's literally two steps ahead of the guys. And every time he's setting something up with a plan, if you change your plan, then he's changing his plan in real time and he's going to spin you.
I think he's a perfect example of one of the things that you can really learn by watching box is how to be sneaky. Like, as soon as that you see the back of his head, we say it all the time as coaches. We're like, when you see the back of his head, that's when you cut. Follow the slide. Follow us up. But when you actually see someone do it and just score, so it looks so effortless. But as we know, the window is very small to do that in, and that's where the real talent is. But getting to the spot and being the guy that can always go behind someone and is always open is the one skill set that I wish all players of all styles of lacrosse could learn even before they could shoot 90 miles an hour. Like, that's like your second level of development is like where you need to be, right?
100%. And since day one, I've always been preaching to kids. I've had so many parents over the years, what's Johnny got to do? What do you think he needs to do? And I always tell them the same thing. If you want to be an old guy at the highest level, learn how to play without the ball and you're going to have a long career. Because it's quite remarkable how many guys really don't know how to play. And I've had conversations with guys come in, like every single guy that comes into the pro league, probably an All-American. I've had multiple conversations with players. They've grown up their whole life where being told, I don't score, we don't win. And then at this level, it's completely different. You got to learn how to make an impact without the ball. Like, and that's Shane Jackson can make an impact, maybe touch the ball for 10 seconds the entire game. And he still gets 3 goals and 5 assists.
I really think the Americans have it wrong in terms of developing young players. I think the 6v6 is a great avenue for young players to start playing 6v6. But indoor lacrosse is the best training tool for any player to learn the game, the skill set, no long poles. We've got third graders playing on a 100-yard field with long poles, right?
Yeah.
That's not good. The Canadians grow up playing indoor. That's how they learn how to play the game. And then when they go outside, it just opens up for them. We should play more. Yeah. We're seeing more indoor lacrosse, coach, but we're still obviously a long way away. Some of the indoor lacrosse you can't even call indoor, unfortunately. It's not played in a box, but you got to play box lacrosse in order to develop your skills. But especially at the younger levels, it's more fun. There's more action.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be engaged. Everybody has to touch the ball. Everybody has to play D. There's no hiding. You can hide 10v10 in a 100-yard field as a third grader. You can't hide in the box. Same in the nil, right? I mean, you can't hide out there. There's no place to hide.
No. And you're absolutely right. And I would say the other big thing, and I think it's on both sides. It's across the sport. I think it's across sports in general, is when they're, especially when they're super young, anything before 12 years old, who cares about winning? Just play.
Yeah.
And I've seen too many. I did the summer circuit and it used to drive me nuts how many coaches would slow play a summer field game for, and like in my mind, I'm like, this is just for our kids to get some good field experience, to get good quality players, not to go out and coach over the players and win these games. And you see way too much of that.
Or jump into a zone for a fifth grade team in a tournament.
Yes.
Because they can't 100%. Play. They can't play one-on-one D because they haven't taught them how to play defense or learn how to slide.
Or win a face-off and kill 2 minutes because they don't want to get a shot on net, the ball in our stick.
Yeah. I you know what the other thing I think Box teaches? And this is going to be a controversial take. I want to hear what you think about this. I think it teaches fear because there's nowhere to run. Like you said it in a good way. I'm saying it in a bad way. Like if you are out there and you are not sure what you're doing, you better run to that box, because if you're not sure if your spatial awareness is off in even a low level box game, you're getting knocked. Minimum getting knocked and maximum thrown to the ground. Like that's just part of the game. And I think that's missing from how Americans play. Americans play hockey, get it. But if you're trying to convert a basketball player or a baseball player or something like that to play lacrosse, and that the first time they get thrown down and can't run away from someone, they should have learned that playing box first. What do you think about that? Is that too much?
No, not at all. And that's the big part of the box, as I said earlier. It's that physical nature. It's that jam. And that translates into winners, I find, as well, too. Is that lack of fear. You're going to get hit, so get hit. I kind of smick at that because I grew up playing hockey, and like I'll never forget my first box lacrosse game. My love for it was because I remember saying to my mom, I'm like, I was screaming in the car on the ride home going, oh my God, like I cross-checked the guy as hard as I could, mom, and I got told it was a good thing. And I couldn't believe it. It was mind-blowing to me. It's like, oh, I was encouraged to do that. You're not a violent kid, but I like the physical nature of sports. I was a hockey player. I was a lacrosse player.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, it does kind of create a jam in you playing that indoor game from a young age.
I'll never forget when someone fought for me. Like I got cleaned out running over the middle when I was playing Cedar B for a couple games, and I got destroyed, but we kept the ball because I made the pass and then got hit. And I went to the bench and I looked at my teammate. He's like, are you all right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I got you. And he got out and he looked at the guy who did it, and he's like, and the guy goes, and they nod, and he threw the gloves out and they just started punching each other. And I'm on the bench like, what's happening? What's happening? Why are they doing this? And then he comes back. He's got bloody nose. He's got it all plugged up. And I have this picture of him and I on the bench, and we're both smiling with thumbs up. And I'll never forget it. It was such a cool but strange feeling, like, oh, you got hurt because of me? Like, why did you do that? But at the same time, I understood why I did it, because that's the culture of it. And I love that about box. I really do. Like, I think it's one of the best things about it. And it is a carryover a little bit from hockey, right? Like, it's a little bit of a carryover.
It's a complete carryover from that hockey mentality. It's that team. I got to fight for my teammate constantly. And I tell a funny story. My son got into a little skirmish at like grade 2 or something in his library. And it was my fault, because the week before, Cosmo got hit in the game in Calgary. I was on TV and I ended up fighting Jesse Phillips because he was the guy that fought Anthony. I come home and the kid's like, why did you fight? And I give him the old, you got to stand up for your teammate lesson. And then he went and turned to the same thing in the library to school the next week in grade 2. And it's always an embarrassing conversation when a principal calls you and asks why your son started a fight. And you have to tell them that because I started a fight on TV the week before. But it's the nature of our game.
Coach, I'd like to change gears a little bit. Let's talk about your team. Obviously, you've struggled with wins and losses, but you made a number of changes at the beginning of the year, a couple of trades during the season, but you've got a very young team for the most part, and the future looks pretty bright based on what I've seen in terms of your young players.
100%. Like our roster going into next season will be very, very different. You know, you think of the off the hand, we've got three huge D guys missing from our roster right now. Nishimura, our first-round draft pick, Will Johansson, who, if you don't know, he's a Western kid. He's about 6'3", runs like the wind, and he's strong as an ox. He's going to be a dominant player in this league. And then, obviously, losing Joe Nardella was just killed our makeup of a team this year, not winning all those face-offs. It was surprising to me how much it impacted our ability to control games. And then you combine with what's been a, I've watched Callum Crawford leave 2 years ago. I watched Joe Rezateras leave last year. We traded Q, and this year alone, I've already lost two of my top three goal scorers are been injured with Tanner and Kieran. So even with what we were having, still getting injured. But the flip side of that, it's been opportunity for young guys, and some young players like John have really kind of stepped up, and Ethan Walker has really made a name for himself, and Marshall Powell. And so when we're really, really keen on his future. So we got some nice young pieces. We got some real studs coming in next year. And then, you know, we're looking at a very high draft pick who's probably going to be a lefty old guy coming in next year as well.
Do you, how much attention do you pay to the American kind of box lacrosse startups or kind of roll out the ball type leagues, I guess, in terms of like recruiting guys from there? Do you see that as a development place, or is that something that might be something different for you?
No, it's, you don't really dive into their numbers the way you would a kid who played junior A would be the biggest difference, but you definitely, it's a huge plus knowing that they're playing box in the summer, they're developing those indoor skills, and it's showing. John was an example. You've got his name, Jack Hanna, out in Vegas, who played a lot of college box lacrosse and having a lot of success in the NLL. It's translating. Connor Field, another example. It's you don't really go to scout them on there because you know what their talent is watching their Division I careers, but it's definitely a check mark on the resume that, yes, they're interested in box, they want to play box. And to be honest, it is a bit of a challenge finding those high-end talent that really want to play box. We've run into this a few times where I feel like the toughest challenge for some of these guys is to almost take that step back down the depth chart and have to kind of re-earn their living in a certain sport. And pride can be a bit of a mess with some guys' minds and things they want to try out. And I have seen that occasionally from time to time where high-end players said, no, I don't want to play box. And you just get that sense that they weren't going to be a number one option. They were going to maybe have to go detraining at first. And they didn't like that option. So it's you got to find those guys that really want it, that kind of recognize they got a lot of work to do, but you know the potential's there and you know what they're going to turn into. Like, you just can't. Goal scoring and high-end shooting is a talent that can't be taught. Like, some kids got it, some kids don't. And those, you want those skill sets, most importantly on offense.
Coach, you brought up a good point. I know through the whole process with my son, John, he was talking to Glenn, the head coach, Glenn Clark, and you wanted to make sure he was fully committed to playing indoor, playing box. John had to make sure it was okay by his work that he was able to play box and take the time off that he had to play. So you're either committed or you're not, and you have to be fully committed. And Americans don't just step on the field in the NLL their first season and play. They just, Canadians do, because they played it and they know how to play. And
played it since they were like four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it is.
It's the same for the other thing. Like, I've had multiple guys, I've reminded them, like, hey, I went down my freshman year at university on a scholarship, and I had to sit every night by myself with one of the assistant coaches to learn how to throw my wrong hand because I was screwing up the line drill.
Right.
But it does go both ways for us. We've got a lot to learn come down here as well.
Yeah, no question. We certainly can help each other out. But in terms of skill set, I think indoor is the best medicine for developing IQ, stick skills, space, timing, and toughness.
Yeah, toughness. I was going to add toughness, and then you threw it in there. It's so true, man. You watch player, you can tell almost which American players too, when they play pro field, which ones have played indoor and which ones haven't, because they actually build, there's a lot to be said for chemistry being built in the box. I think it's actually, I don't want to say it's easier, but I think it's easier to identify guys that have played on the same team that are also on the same team in outdoor. Like, I've seen it a million times. Like, I mean, back when Mark Matthews was playing and Junior was still playing, and then they were on a team, and I was like, oh no, this is going to be bad. And it was.
Yeah.
But in a good way for them. Like, I like seeing that kind of connection. And I think, like, it's helpful for us to do podcasts like this because you have a box background. Mine's not nearly as deep as yours, obviously, or yours. But I love the value that it teaches. Like, it teaches you to understand where you are at all times. That's the, to me, that's the most important thing. And again, hands, obviously that comes with it, but knowing where you are is a skill that you cannot not have it. If you don't have it, you're done. You just can't.
And
play.
I would also add, knowing where you are and always being aware of what's going on, where the ball is, because box is so fast moving. As we just showed a video where the last guy making a change just stopped to make a chirp on a player and then put his head down and kind of walked off. And the guy he chirped sprints it off, and it was the fifth guy that came off and scored a goal. And it's you can't sleep for a second in box. You put your head down, someone's going to skin you.
And that's the difference between winning and losing at that level. What I love about box, too, it teaches players, young players, when they come on the floor, they have to have their head up. They have to have their head up. They've got to find the ball and react to the ball and know where you are on the field at all times. Where you can jump on offense on the attack side and not know where the ball is or not. It's on the defensive end of the field.
But yeah, I don't have to know.
You don't have to know exactly where it is, but when and you could walk on the field with your head down.
Yeah.
But in box, you can't.
Yeah. I do want to drill down on one other thing. You mentioned how not having Nardella affected you guys a lot because you didn't have those extra possessions. I actually think that's kind of new in NLL for like faceoff guys to be quote unquote a thing. And I have a friend who's trying to make a team and he keeps sending his tape out. And he's like, I don't know if they're going to watch the tape. I was like, they're going to watch the tape, man, because their philosophy. And I want to say, I think this is true. Tell me if I'm wrong. The philosophy of NLL teams has totally changed when it comes to faceoffs. It's way more important than it was.
It is and it isn't. So you can still go with the stats, still boggle the mind at times. Like we beat Halifax in overtime and won one faceoff.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always correlate. Oh, Phillies had a game where they won every single faceoff, lost the game. That being said, I would say Batiste was probably the first. Once a pure, true field Fogel figured out how to play box D and could be actually part of the lineup, that's when everything changed. When teams start winning every single faceoff that easily, you've got to have a response. So it did start with Batiste, and we were like, oh my God, we can't lose 20 straight faceoffs. That's not going to be a thing for success. But we've got to find the guy who also has play. And we were so lucky to find Joe Nardella, who is he's the biggest dog I've ever seen. Like face off, regular lacrosse player. Kid's just a dog. His dad was a wrestler, I believe. And he just competes and he's got that jam. And Joe put the work in, figured it out. And having Joe in our lineup, not only the face offs, but Joe's one of our top 10 defenders as well. And it was kind of losing that part of Joe was a big part of our game as well. But yeah, I think you're right. There is a bit of reaction to, especially the East. You look at the faceoff guys in the East, and it's a murderer's row of faceoff guys. It's Baptiste, it's Withers, Nardella, Erland, Thompson in Georgia, and then a couple teams just kind of throw out their guys, but they can't find another guy. We did try with Zach Tucci, but Tucci needs a lot of box experience, and he's still a ways away from being a regular in this league. The way Baptiste and Joe kind of transferred into the league.
Well, that's where the Americans have really been an influence.
Yeah.
In the box game is the faceoff guys were given an opportunity to start facing off in the NIL and made a difference in terms of possessions for those particular teams. And like you said, Joe's just a great athlete. I know he's a great teammate too. So you lost not only a great player, possession guy, can play defense, but he's a guy you want in your locker room.
100%. And where the faceoff does really come into play is if you get down by a couple goals, you want to make a run. You need to win those faceoffs. Whereas if you're not winning any of those faceoffs, it's really hard to score a goal and then not get the ball back for 2 minutes.
I know you're not the GM, but why'd you trade Greg Downing? I love Greg Downing. He's awesome. He's a local guy. We've played on the same men's league team forever. It's so insane to me that he's 38 and he's still an impact player.
He's an absolute legend. Yeah, and he's one of the best D guys. It was honestly a favor to him. It was Toronto approached us and we just kind of honestly just gave him the opportunity. We were sitting, it wasn't really going to work. I think we were actually out of the playoffs officially at that point.
Yeah.
And that's where you just give a veteran respect. He's given a lot to the organization and he's deserved that right to have that choice to make a run at a cup. I don't think he has one yet.
Yeah, I think
sure.
What's crazy with him is, and I picked up this phrase from Jerry Byrne, where guys that can catch and throw with a shovel. And Greg Downing's a D guy in the NLL, yep. And he can catch and throw with a shovel. Like, I've seen yep. him grab a stick that wasn't even like, it was like one of the, back when they did factory stringing, and he just like grabbed it and played a whole game. And I was like, what? How is this happening? But that's kind of the differentiator, right? It's one of those things that separates really good box guys from really good field guys.
And yeah, one of the best yeah. to pick off passes.
Yes.
And the lanes. Probably one of the best, if not the best, one-handed ground ball guy in the NIL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NLL.
And I don't consider Greg a pure American because he can fight too.
Yeah.
He can throw down with anybody in this league, and I've seen him do it, and he's very impressive.
Are you saying the Americans can't fight, Coach?
Yeah. No, many of them can.
Oh.
They don't go looking for it the way he did.
No.
When I saw him fight Sean Evans, I was like, oh, okay. That's a kid who's not scared of anybody.
Well, it's always good to hear. And he isn't. And it's funny because he's so chill when he just plays like men's league in the summer. But I can definitely see it. You can see everyone.
Yeah.
Players like that have a little glint in their eye. You can always see it. It's always there. It doesn't go away.
I know you have one guy in your roster that when a fight breaks out, he runs to the locker room.
Oh, my God. Why are you saying that?
Just kidding. I don't think my son John would ever drop the gloves in his life.
Well, maybe. You don't know.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know. John's tough, man. In a different way. Yeah, but yeah. Mentally, he's very tough. You can tell because, and I've told you this, I've done analysis on him. Like, one of the things that he does so well is all the things that other typically Americans, really don't do well, which is get ground balls on attack, ride on attack, stay in your space. You don't invade other people. He never invades any other person's space, which is why I'm not surprised at all he does well in box, because there's tons of, I mean, when you learn how to play box and you've never been taught how to do it as an American, you're just running around most of the time. You're just sprinting one way or the other, trying to get to where you're supposed to be. But I knew that he would be fine because he never invades the wrong lane. Like, he always knows where to be. And that's one of the things that you just really have to be an impact player in the NLL or senior B, senior A, wherever you go.
And John can shoot the ball. He's got all the goalies tell me it's one of the weirdest. I know the goalies in the league really struggle because he's got such a high release and it just comes down so hard and fast. Goalies are struggling. He's a goal scorer. Well, as a coach, he's a goal scoring dream.
I see.
Coach, in terms of, you got two games left, how do you approach these last two games knowing that you're not going to the playoffs? Will you change the lineups a little bit, give some of the other guys a chance to play, or do you want to continue to develop the players that are in the lineup now?
Well, I think we don't really have many guys left to put out there, Jack.
We've had
so many injuries. I'm pretty thin. We really only have one kind of healthy scratch on the front door right now. So it's pretty much next man up is in. I mean, the message, just keep growing. I just keep developing, keep coaching these kids up, John, Ethan, Marshall. But you can't stop coaching them, and you want them to find success. And last week in Rochester was a really good step for some of them to kind of hit that reality. Oh, we can't put up 14, 15 in this league with this group we have. It is possible. And I think a lot of them convincing that belief in them. I truly believe offensive indoor or outdoor, it's all about your inner belief. You're almost like a basketball player. You almost have to have a bit of a swag to you, a bit of a confidence that no one can beat me and no goalie can stop me, and I'm just going to go do it. And trying to uplift them and to get to that, it's hard at this level to convince them, but let's keep working and keep growing with them.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you dislike sixes?
I'm still torn on it. I'm going to hold. I like it. The first version I saw at a ball classic my son played in, I want to say just before COVID, down in Baltimore, what I really enjoyed. I did not enjoy the World Sixes. It did not have the same type of thing. I think we have to find a happy medium version. I don't know what that looks like, but I think they need to put at least one or two poles out there.
Yeah, but Coach, that's what Sixes is. It's the half measure between box and field. I love talking to Canadians about Sixers because they're on my team. They're on my team for it. And I love it because it's true, though. Like, I do think it's great for youth. I think it's incredible to like teach and get all those touches. I think it's amazing. And then at some point, it just has to be box. I think it just does. It just does. I know you don't think that.
No, I agree.
Yeah. No, you do?
Yeah. But okay. I think it would be great if it was box.
Sorry, Coach. What was that?
And I think they need to shrink the net if they're not going to play long balls. I don't know why they stuck 6 foot nets. That's just.
I agree.
I thought they made the net so big because you've got 4 6-foot poles out there to get in your shooting lane.
Yeah. I mean, it's always the joke, like the difference between box and indoor is the net, right? Like if you're playing, oh, I'm going to go play box tonight. Like if you're talking to your buddies, like I'm going to play box. They're like, ooh, good luck, man. And then if you're like, oh, I'm going to play indoor. And they're like, oh, with the big net? And you're like, yeah. You're not going to get hurt playing with the big net. Is like kind of my subliminal message there. I think it's pretty fair to say that.
I think what I like about it, it's not, you don't have the specialization you have in the outdoor game. These attackmen now have to learn how to play defense. They need to understand how to play on both sides of the field.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. It's just, I love when any Sixes thing comes up, it's just straight up Canada comments. And it's great. I like it. I think it's fair. But again, I do think it's useful for youth. But like, what age would you transition to box? Like, when is it the most helpful? Do you think?
I'd say box from day one.
Yes, always. I agree, Coach.
Okay. All right.
The windows. It's what they learn how to pass in tight windows is the biggest difference in catch and tight windows. And
it's about the touches too.
Yeah, because when you play field with those folds, can't pass a guy who's in tight on a defender because those poles are just going to rip them apart, or you can with a short stick. And you see it. I do notice a subtle difference of the American guys at our level. The two things they really struggle with, that the first thing they end up getting is shooting around shooting lanes. They think they need to be completely free of all bodies, see the net before they shoot. Whereas box players use hips, use shoulders, use legs, use whatever they can to disguise the ball from the goalie. And then also just passing through the tight windows. It's an open guy, American guy, and Canadian guy is very different in the beginning.
Coach, any new teams, expansion teams, going to be joining the league next year?
I don't think so. I think we're on a bit of a hold period for the next little bit. And I think we got to let the talent catch up. The always ever challenge with the indoor game growing too fast is getting enough goalies in the league.
Right. That's probably the most difficult position to play in indoor, correct?
100%, in this most valuable position.
Sure.
If you don't have a goalie in this league, you don't have a chance.
So what doesn't it stand to reason that that's kind of what you would scout for the lower leagues then? Isn't that kind of something that, like, especially American ones I'm talking about, like obviously yeah. PBLA didn't work out, but there's still NABLL. Coming up this summer, like there might be like some decent goalies in there.
There could be, but on the other side of that, until a lot of those kids start coming up and learning the nuances of the indoor goalie earlier, like we've had enough outdoor guys come up and play junior A lacrosse up in Canada for a summer when they're young enough. We need a few goalies to do that too. It's that junior A, junior B experience is a real big part of elevating our Canadians game.
Do you see any way that there's going to be more of a Can-Am influence that comes down a little bit farther to, like, I don't know, New England? Like, I would love to see that. Like, I think that that's
I think
a huge
that
thing.
Would be the best way to do it is if the Ontario Junior A League get a couple of American expansion franchises in there like the OHL does. I think that would be the best model. And I'm sure there's been talks, but then we're talking about the politics of the sport, and that's when I usually... I'm like Homer Simpson, just hiding in the bush because I'll just get mad when I hear people talk politics on sports.
Yeah, that's fair.
Coach, who do you like to win the cup, indoor cup?
In our league?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to say that, Jack.
All right, well, give me a couple.
I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
I'll say Colorado, my kid's team, and we're out of it. I can say that.
Great.
Yeah, that's fair. There's nothing wrong with
that. And I honestly think they definitely could. They're peaking at the right time. I've always liked Colorado's roster, one of the deepest offenses in the league. It might not be the most shiniest, but they are the ultimate. They've got seven strong guys and they stick to their system every single set in and out. They're the model I try to get our young guys to play after.
And what's that like coaching against your son at such a high level? You both made it. Well, you've been in the league forever, but obviously your son is an outstanding player, and having to coach against him, that must be a pretty unique situation and experience for you and your son.
It's emotionally weird when you're coaching against him. The first game ever, I'm not going to lie, but you kind of get used to it. And like you said, I've been in the league for so long, and there's a few guys in the league that have dealt with it. You talk to them, and we kind of had our... The junior A was how we kind of set the boundaries. That's when I stepped away from coaching him. I coached him all the way up. And then we got to junior A. He just wanted to make a name for himself. That was his biggest drive. He didn't want anyone to think that he was just the son of an NLL guy. That he earned it, and he did. He went to Brampton and made a 5-year career, and I watched. And then I got back into coaching after. But it's always funny. I did get caught clapping. It's the first time I saw him score against us back in New England. I got hand slapped by Joe Rezateras. But that was about it. Jack having a little technical difficulty over there, it looks like.
Yeah, sorry. My microphone got unplugged. All right, last question, Coach, and we got to go. We really appreciate you coming on. You're a big hockey fan. Toronto.
Yes. Oh,
who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
Hopefully the Leafs, but after a couple nights ago, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
yeah.
I got to stick with my Leafs. Until they're out, I stick with my Leafs.
Wait.
Can't say anyone else.
It's been since 1967 that they won the Stanley Cup.
Leave him alone.
Jack, you got to understand, I had season tickets at Maple Leaf Gardens in the early 80s with my dad.
Must have been great.
Loyal diehard since day one.
Oh, man.
I knew that. That's why I had to ask. Bruins, they're the best team during the regular season, but that doesn't mean anything in the playoffs, so we'll see.
You've seen a couple of cups. They choked last night, but they'll be back.
Hope so.
Wait, why is it Leafs and not Leaves?
Leafs?
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, but
that's
why?
That's the name of the...
But like, that's not grammatically correct. It should be Leaves.
The team name.
Team name. You got to go with it. Leave the guy alone, will you? Leave him alone.
I'm just asking. I thought it was a Canadian dialect thing.
Coach, I'm going to see you at the game on Sunday. Maybe I can work my way down to the locker room after the game. That'll be my last game. I'd like to say hello to you guys.
That'd be great, pal. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Thank you. Great job.
And thanks again for listening to Moving the Cross Journals, Chase the Goal podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you next time.